So they had the Vietnamese had called in for a rescue mm-hmm. of live Vietnamese. Well, they got there and they found out there were dead Vietnamese. Well, they got there, they picked them up, and they were already dead, and this was horrendous weather. They came back and flew into a side of the mountain, lost the whole crew. I mean, that, I can, if I was, that probably made me the angriest I'd ever been over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was very, very angry with that. Mm-hmm. It was just, we lost four guys for no frickin' reason at all. Mm-hmm. And that was, again, that's probably the angriest I'd ever been. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it was towards the end. Mm-hmm. And maybe my tolerance was coming down, but I don't think anybody believed that we were over there for the good reason. I mean, we just stayed with, we're over here to get more guys home. Mm-hmm. You know, the more we can get through this hospital and get home, mm-hmm. that's the real purpose.
Mm-hmm. So then when you came home, what did you think about the war? Or maybe what did you think about protests or people for the war?
I felt that they had a right to do that. Mm-hmm. I really felt that, yeah, if we, you know, if this is going to help get everybody home quicker, been fine. I mean, I didn't have any animosity toward them. Mm-hmm. It made me very, very angry when they're yelling at people who have been there, mm-hmm. you know, at the veterans, at the guy, you know, calling them baby killers and yada, 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 because these guys didn't want to be over there. They went over to answer their nation's call. I mean, you know, they're not volunteering to go over and do this thing. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't that it was their fight or their fault. And that made me very angry. Mm-hmm. But as far as down, you know, let's get rid of the war, I agree with that. I don't have any problem with that. Mm-hmm. So so I kind of probably avoided it because you didn't have one or the other. You always had both, mm-hmm. you know, together. And even though philosophically, I didn't have a problem with the protest. I didn't like the way they were doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, they were picking on us. They were picking on my brothers. They were picking on my friends. Mm-hmm. They were picking on me. And again, it's just like I said, it wasn't. We were there trying to do what was right. Mm-hmm. So.
And so you went back to school when you got home?
When I came home, I went back to the University of Minnesota. Which is where I was from, mm-hmm. One semester, and I had trouble. I'd always been a straight A student. I never had trouble with grades and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was having difficulty. So I thought that, you know, maybe it just was some timing thing, but I didn't know what else. I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I thought, well, I might as well go to school.
Mm-hmm. Was this on your GI Bill?
Yes. Yes, I was on the GI Bill. Mm-hmm. And then I finished that first semester, and I got out of the military in September. Mm-hmm. Patty, who was the girl that was at the third surge when I arrived, mm-hmm. that I knew, and I went on a six-week travel thing, mm-hmm. and stopped and saw just buku of people from Vietnam, which, as a healing process, was just beyond imaginable. Mm-hmm. So we got back, so I got back home really the middle of December. We got back home for Christmas, and then so I didn't start school until January 1st, which, if you've never been to Minneapolis, walking across the east to west campus across that river in the winter is so cold. So anyway, I was just having trouble. I mean, I was flunking chemistry, and I made it out with a C, but it was, and that's another whole story. But anyway, Peggy and Mary came out here to Tampa, and they called. They said, "Why didn't you come to Tampa?" You know, and I said, "Well, I have to finish this semester," and they were on semesters rather than mm-hmm. quarters. So I said, "I can't walk away from this. I have to finish." And so I finished this semester and then transferred down here.
Mm-hmm. To USF?
To US. Well, I came down and I was here about a year, well, not that long, a few six, 8 months, and then decided to go ahead and go back to school. So mm-hmm. then I transferred at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't a direct transfer. I mean, I really didn't have plans to go to school when I came down. I just had plans to get out of Minneapolis. Mm-hmm.
So. And why didn't you stay in the military?
Actually, I went back in.
Oh, you did?
I got out. Actually, when we got out, it was a transition in nursing where they were saying, if you don't have a baccalaureate, you're not a real nurse. See, and we were all diploma nurses. And so in order to stay in the Army, you had to agree that you were going to go back and get your baccalaureate. Mm-hmm. And when I got out, I thought, my God, I'm a diploma nurse. I'm the best kind of nurse there is. What are they talking about? You know. So anyway, I got out. And then after I was down here, I don't know how long it was, but I called to go back in because I really did miss. I really enjoyed the military. And so I called to go back in, and she says, well, I'm sorry, we're not accepting non-baccalaureate nurses. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you don't understand. I'm prior service. And she says, well, you don't understand. We don't want you. And I'm going, well, by God, nobody's not going to tell me I'm not good enough. Uh-huh. So which was the reason I went back and got my back. That's when I went back to USF after that. Truly, when it starts limiting your career goals, you know, I mean, at that point, maybe I was thinking a little bit about future. Then I decided, well, I'm going to do this just because I'm not going to have somebody telling me I can't mm-hmm. go in the Army because I don't have a baccalaureate. And then so I did go back in the Army. Mm-hmm. And I graduated from USF. And then went to Hawaii for 4 years, real hard assignment. Mm-hmm. And then came back and went to Fort Polk, which was turned out to be just a wonderful assignment. And then I went back up to Fort Sam, and then they started messing with me. Well, I'd been to Fort Sam for 3 years, and I was ready to rotate, mm-hmm. but there had been people at Fort Sam for 6 and 8 years. I mean, you know, it's military's politics, you know, I didn't know anybody. So anyway, I was in graduate school at that time. I was working full-time. I was a head nurse on a cardiac step-down unit, and then I was doing my graduate work part-time on top of that. And I really believed that if I got rotated, I wouldn't finish my graduate work, and that had become a real personal goal. And it just wasn't, it didn't make any sense, because I was a head nurse, I was a major, I was ahead of my peers, I had a good career going, and I had offered to step back into a staff position, I had offered to step back to go into the ICU, I mean, we're begging for ICU nurses, I still had my ICU identifier. I told him I'll be a night supervisor. I'll work crazy hours. Just allow me to finish my graduate work. Mm-hmm. And there were so many people that were being funded full time by the military. That all they had to do was go to school. Mm-hmm. And here I'm doing it in addition to working full time. And it just wasn't right. I mean, there was no reason that they couldn't have found some place for me to be so that I could have stayed and finished up my graduate work. And they said no, so I said fine. I said, this is January. Didn't matter. But my ETS was July, I guess, or something. But I said, well, such and such a date is my ETS date. I have no commitment to the military. Mm-hmm. But they figured I already had 10 years. Well, and with my prior service, I'd already had 13 years in. Mm-hmm. And I was already in the LTC list. There was no way I was going to give all that up. So they could do whatever they wanted with me. Mm-hmm. I guess that ain't gonna happen. If I'm still, you know, if something hasn't been taken care of by my ETS day, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. So my ETS day came, I put in my paperwork for retirement, and I'm out of there. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it was. So anyway, so then I just stayed in San Antonio for a while and got a job and finished up my graduate work, and mm-hmm. I'd be done. Mm-hmm. And I just, I think part of that came from Vietnam. I honestly do. It was just, I mean, it's kind of like, it doesn't make any sense. You know, and if you're just doing it to piss me off, then I'll go my own direction. I don't need it. I just don't need it. Mm-hmm. But now all my friends are retired as full colonels with their military background or military checks coming in every month, and I think, well, but hindsight, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was the right decision for me to do at the time.
What did you think about the women's movements and all of that was kind of going on late 60s, early 70s?
I supported it. Mm-hmm. I'm not an active activist. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a, that's just not Jen. Mm-hmm. I certainly took advantage of it. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't know, you know, I come from a family of strong women, mm-hmm. and I've been fairly, you know, it just seemed like I didn't have, I don't know how to say this, I never was restricted from something because I was a woman, so I didn't feel, I guess I just didn't feel that overwhelming hurdle I needed to get over to, you know, because I had just never, I just never felt that. I had always been more than an equal with my brothers. I'd always been more than an equal in the military. And so I'd been in environments where I was always more than an equal. Mm-hmm. And I say that in the military because in nursing in the military is certainly different than out in the general population in the military. Mm-hmm. There weren't positions. I mean, chief nurse was what we had aspired to. I mean, that was always a female. So what, I mean, it was the reverse thing, you know, where we were as far as the guys. Mm-hmm. So there was nothing in my path on any of my paths I've been on that restricted me.
Mm-hmm. And so you said the military were equal as a nurse in the military.
Yeah. Yeah, I never felt anything that there was any, mm-hmm. that I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a civilian, I experienced much more of that glass ceiling, mm-hmm. stuff than I ever did in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy, I guess, but I think at the point that I was, I mean, if I was, you know, this is 20 years later, it would have been different. If I had been in a senior colonel position wanting to, you know, do something, I think I would have felt, because certainly there is a glass ceiling in the military as bad as it is anyplace else. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in my pathway.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel like the military wanted you to be a certain type of female, or did they try to make you do certain things, you think?
No.
Feel any restrictions that way?
No, I think that, I mean, there were restrictions, but I don't think it was because you're female. I think it was just the military climate. I never related it to being female.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I thought we probably got more opportunities there than other places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly we were out hauling stretchers in the dirt as much as the guys were.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I to be honest with you, in my life, I've just never,
mm-hmm.
I've never seen that, I've never felt that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure that's just my perception on life, but that's kind of the way I was
mm-hmm.
raised.
Mm-hmm. And were you more limited in your nursing and practice? When you came back from Vietnam, maybe in a civilian hospital?
Yes, that was a transition that we had to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
I came back and I went to work in the ER at Fort Gordon, and that was a little bit better because in the ER, in the military, you are allowed to do a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this was still, you know, the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do in the ER now, and back then you just can't even compare, but that the whole healthcare thing has changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
In the ICU, like when I came here to Tampa and I worked in the ICU, and again, some of that was a transition out of the military, per se, mm-hmm. into civilian nursing, where the doctors, oh my God, I didn't give you an order. And I said, well, you should have, or, you know what I'm saying? But you needed it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, but again, that was illegal, playing with those personalities and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You just had to learn. I just had to learn how to play the game better.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never had to play that game before, but mm-hmm. but I did, and it worked out okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, you know, I was still in the when the physician walked by, you stood up. I mean, that's but that's diploma nursing,
mm-hmm.
more so than even military. And I can remember in San Antonio, they said, please don't do that. Don't get up when he comes over here. He's hard enough to live with. Don't do that. So my fellow nurses kind of indoctrinated us into that.
And so you finished your graduate work. Was that a master's in nursing?
Yes, nursing administration.
And so then you moved from Texas back to Tampa?
Actually, I joined a company in San Antonio
mm-hmm.
when I was there. When I graduated from graduate school, which was the Vencore Healthcare System, which was brand new. We were the seventh hospital that they opened up in San Antonio. And then I was their director of nursing and their assistant administrator.
Mm-hmm.
And then went up to the corporate level and did a lot of traveling with the company and opened up hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And then ended up, actually, I traveled for like 9 years and opened up hospitals nationally for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the company went bankrupt. And so I came back to Tampa St. Pete, and which was one of the hospitals I had opened up previously. So I was
mm-hmm.
real good friends with the administrator. So she made a position for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been back about 4 years, and then this new opportunity came up, and so I took it, so I left. So mm-hmm. I spent 15 years in the military, well, 13 years in the military, 14 years in Kindred, and then I've been with this company about 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do with this company now?
It's healthcare consulting. We do Joint Commission preps.
Mm-hmm.
Continuous self-evaluation programs to the emphasis now with Joint Commission is to be prepared all the time and not preparing for surveys.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a nice program that helps teaches, you know, that healthcare is kind of has been for many years now focused on getting ready for surveys, and now the emphasis is on staying ready all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to teach them as a mindset, teaching mm-hmm. how to, you change the processes to do that. So that's mm-hmm. kind of what I'm doing now.
You want to look at your pictures?
Well, like I say, I just, to kind of give you, if you wanted more, this is just stuff, an idea of what. These were our songs that we sang. The we were I don't know, they're just this is one of our little girls. So this was the third surge, and so this is basically the first thing I saw when I came.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the spinal in the hospital. These were in the units. But these were, like, Dewey was one of our corpsmen.
Mm-hmm.
He was just wonderful. And Fred was one of the, he was an engineer and got shot in the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
He got corpsman. Jimmy Sheets. Jimmy was a gunman on a Cobra. Well, you could see, you can just see this little thing he got here.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the third time he came in with shot. So he was like, one of our faves, you know. And then we had Vietnamese children that would come in, and they would do corrective surgeries
mm-hmm.
on him. Like Vint had congenital hips, so he was getting congenital hips repaired and stuff. And then this was David was on his way home. He was on his way out to the air evac.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he ever got use of his leg again or not. Yeah. Bobby was one, we stopped and visited him and his family when we came back. He had two boys, like 10 or 12, when we visited him. But anyway, he was a chopper pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Got his ankle shattered up with a gun. And these are just parting.
Mm-hmm.
It's Peggy's birthday. Cat burgers. This was in our officer's car. this was Patty. She was the girl that I had met over there. And then Sheila was, we call ourselves five Delta. Well, actually, these are the Delta Brats. It's Patty, Sheila, Peggy, and Mary. And then I'm taking the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe and Joyce were a married couple that were over there. And this was their room. They had a double room because they're a married company. Mm-hmm. Well, the night they left, not the night they left, but when they were getting ready to leave, I was supposed to get their double room. And that was the plan, is for me to move up to their double room because I lived right underneath them. And I got this call. I came off a night and I got this call from whoever took care of this. I don't remember who was in charge of housing. And they said, listen, we've got new people coming in. If you want that double room, you got to be into it by 10 o'clock this morning when they get here. I said, okay, we can do that. So then I got that. And then with the double room, see, that was so much better for partying or Christmas. This little guy, there's a better picture of him, I think. This little guy here.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Vietnamese refugee. I don't think he had family. Maybe I thought. But anyway, he was hit by napalm, and they found him. He was huddled in the corner because they basically put him in a corner to die. And his face here had grafted to his shoulder because he was like laying like this. And so Mike was an orthopedic surgeon,
mm-hmm.
and Kurt was a physical therapist. So they took this little kid and then took him to surgery, and he didn't have, because of the napalm, he didn't have any graft sites.
Mm-hmm.
So they went in multiple surgeries to release this so he could be normal again.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so he lived at the hospital with us for months and months.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Hope Show.
Mm-hmm.
And this was our swimming pool, which we spent a lot of time in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, these are the five Delta Brats. Now Sheila died, and I don't know if they ever really related to the Agent Orange, but she died of cancer. That's about 15 years ago now.
December.
Yeah, always. These are our docs. And then Bubba, he wasn't a doc, he was one of our foremen. We went on med caps.
Mm-hmm.
Several. I mean, we'd go probably at least two or three times a month. He adopted her and brought her home. He was one of the lab techs. Yeah. And this is where they'd go and get their. These were all orthopedic. This is Ned. He was a guy who saved Jimmy's hands. And go out to the orphanages and bring the kids back and do surgery and stuff. And Mike was a pediatrician, actually. Just more parting.
Mm-hmm.
This is my picture I get to Chrome Metcalf. Father Menes, he was our Catholic priest. He partied with us like everybody else. I went to Taipei for my R&R. Sheila and I did.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Davis Jr. Our job. Black Market.
Mm-hmm.
His kids. Mama's son. And they had no teeth. They got all these black juju bees that they. Oh my God. So they got this tobacco they chew on. Oh, I got that. Oh God, it's really gross. The beautiful sunrises, sunsets.
Mm-hmm.
These are my boots. One of my foreman's hands. Anyway, that's that.
So you got together with some women at the.
Yeah, this was. We made up just a last minute sign, but these, we were all together, Patty, Peggy, and Mary, and then Kelly and Patty were with us the whole time. Then these two gals, were there, but they were like the end of the group before us. We didn't know them real well, but we remembered who they were.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about the memorial?
At first I thought, well, why do we have to have our own memorial? Mm-hmm. But then I thought, you know, it really is nice. I mean, it really is. I think they did just an incredible job on it. And I think it's been in the 10 years after that I've ever really appreciated it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that whole, the whole dedication ceremony or the just being there and being with these kids, it just did more than I ever, ever would have realized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as freeing or just kind of putting it in perspective and not pretend. And it wasn't a matter of pretending it never happened, because mm-hmm. it was a part of my life that I would never want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really laid some foundation for me, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about it is one thing, and you know, I mean, it's just, it's nice that the rest of the world is finally figuring out that what went on over there.
Mm-hmm.
And what was sacrificed over there.
Mm-hmm. So would you do it again?
If I was 30 years younger again, yeah, I would. I have less tolerance now than I did 30 years ago. But yeah, I think I absolutely know. If I could go back to the same situation,
mm-hmm.
if I could go back to the same situation, the same people, mm-hmm. I would absolutely do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Without getting into the whole philosophy, there aren't these guys out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. We were a very small unit. As a matter of fact, we were so small that whenever somebody went on R&R, they backfilled us from Saigon.
Mm-hmm.
The guys would come down from Saigon, and they would want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, Saigon, they wore white dresses. Mm-hmm. We wore, you know, our BDUs and everything. But it was the camaraderie. I mean, they came down for 2 weeks, and they said, God, I felt like I'd been to my whole tour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's the kind of group of people we had. Mm-hmm. And they just opened them up, and, you know, you're here, you're part of us, well, let's just go for it, you know. And it's, so, I wouldn't want to go back and go to Saigon
mm-hmm.
or go to any other assignment.
Mm-hmm.
But mine, yeah, I would.
Mm-hmm. Do you think staying in touch with your friends has helped? And have you ever had problems with PTSD or things like that?
I have never had any problems, no.
Mm-hmm.
Staying in touch, yeah. I'm sure that's an outlet, you know, an unintentional kind of an outlet. It does help. And like I say, we even when we're together, some things may come up or remember this, but it's not, you know, I don't think we've talked about Vietnam for an hour
mm-hmm.
in the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just one of those brief kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's never a topic of discussion per
mm-hmm.
se. But I mean, it certainly was during the reunion, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, so yeah, I would do it again.
What what did you like most about the year?
The people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, just the friends, the people. Just getting to, you know, even getting to know the Vietnamese people, and we didn't know them well. I mean, we had the Mama Sans and stuff, but you pick up on some of their cultures and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very forgiving group. I think they probably have to be to survive us over there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like the Mama Sans, they would, if you had $10 laying on your dresser, you'd come back to be $5 there. They would take the whole thing. They would just take what they needed, and they would leave you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about that philosophy. How can you be mad at somebody for taking $5 when you know that, first of all, they left you $5. But, I mean, they're very giving. I mean, very,
mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what, when we went out to one of our, Tech's house, she invited us out. And I mean, there was, we'd give her like all this stuff, and of course, we'd have to take it to the gate because she, you know, they check them and stuff at night. And you go in and you'd see, especially when we're getting ready to go home, I mean, they thought they got, but this little grass shack, and they'd have like little mats. That's what they slept on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, no furniture. I mean, you sat Indian style around the table. I mean, basically it was up, well, maybe that high. But I mean, it was just, people lived like this. It's just amazing. Of course, no bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So it was learning, you know, and just seeing how other people live is always enlightening. But the people of course was. And of course, I mean, I think my nursing got grounded over there. But I was young. We were all so young.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have time to, before we went, we didn't have time to solidify our nursing skills or our people skills. I mean, not Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember one night I'm thinking, my God, I'm 21 years old and I'm in charge of this whole freaking hospital. No, this is scary.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was, you know, on the night shift, the nursing supervisor is the ER nurse. You know, so it's just kind of like, it was sobering to say the least. So, I don't know. We grew up fast. I think we grew up real fast.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about?
No, I don't. I don't think so. No, not really.
Okay,
well. I can't, no. It was just, I mean, I know I talk a lot about partying and stuff, but again, I think it was really the mechanism that kept us tuned to be able to work. I mean, 12 hours, when you stop and think about 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, that's grueling, and that's constant.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if it wasn't. When we emptied out the hospital for Tet, and Tet never happened in 71. And that's when we got restless.
Mm-hmm.
That's when everybody started getting restless. So by the time March came along, it was time to go home.
Mm-hmm.
But from that first, you know, half when you were busy, I mean, when you were busting your butt 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, that time went so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You had a reason for being there, and so that made it okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know.
Okay, well, I appreciate it.
Certainly.
All right.